Hey Blackhawk, I'm Emily. Thanks for joining us today. Before jumping into worship, we want to invite you to share our service on social media or text a friend to watch the service with you. Now, here are some things happening in the next few weeks. I am so excited that we get to take part in Advent Conspiracy again this year. Every dime we give goes outside Blackhawk and multiplies the great work of organizations that impact families who've been hit hard this year in Dane County and around the world. Help us show our communities that we are on their side and that they are loved by God. To get involved, just head to our website. You're invited to celebrate the season with us at one of our drive-in Christmas carol services next weekend at Brader Way. Familiar faces will lead us in singing carols, reflecting on scripture, and preparing to celebrate Jesus's birth. You can register on our website. The following weekend, you can enjoy a special drive-through nativity experience at the Brader Way site. Blackhawk visual artists will bring scripture passages to life through storyboards, leading the way to a live nativity scene. Keep an eye out for our furry friends gathered around the manger. Join us for this safe and special time. If you're looking for any opportunity to give towards the ministry of Blackhawk Church, just click Give on our homepage. And if this is your first time with us, welcome. Please visit our I'm New page and discover other ways to connect with us. Now, let's worship together.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're glad that you could join us online today for our worship time. And no matter whether you're from your living room or whatever place you're at, we invite you to sing along with us as we sing some familiar carols today, as we focus the second Sunday of Advent on the peace that Jesus brings. So join us in singing.
Stay, oh,
Christmas season, we tend to sing a lot of songs about baby Jesus, right? Little baby Jesus in the manger, Jesus being born. And sometimes I think, I know I can lose sight of the significance of that. Why is it such a big deal that Jesus was born? And I want to invite us all to consider this morning just the power of the incarnation of God, the creator God of the universe, the all-powerful, sovereign God over all time and space, humbling himself and limiting himself so much to become human with a body and flesh and bones and limited by time and space, but not only human, but the weakest form of a human, a little infant, an embryo inside a teenage girl. And just this movement of God out of love, letting go of his power and releasing that to become one of us out of love because he wanted to be with us. To help us think about this, I want to invite us to listen to these words from Philippians chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Aside your God, we want to take a moment and just be in your presence. And to say thank you. Just to say thank you for what you've done for us, God. Just out of love, just out of wanting to be with us, wanting to call us your children, God, what a love. What a love that keeps on running after even those who have let you down and again, even those who have sinned against you, God, that your grace is greater than all of our sin. Your grace in moving towards us is greater. And we pray that your Spirit would help that truth settle into our hearts this Christmas as we ponder what it means that the God of the universe came to earth as a baby, to love us, to redeem us, to save us and save the whole creation from the consequences of our sin and our turning from you. Thank you, God, for being our hope, our light, and our joy. Pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to thank everyone who's joining us today. We are currently in our Advent series, and we're going to be going through that until Christmas. And I actually want to take some time to talk about Christmas at Black Hawk, because we are really excited about the events that are coming up. Now, the first one is happening next weekend, and we've actually made a little bit of a change to it. It's our drive-in Christmas carol service, and we've seen so much interest in it, which is awesome, that we have decided to switch it, the location, to our Fitchburg campus. That's next weekend. Now, if you tried to register but were unsuccessful in it because the registration filled up, we want to invite you to register again, to try to register, because we've opened up spaces on Saturday and on Sunday. If you've already registered and you were successful, you're good. If you tried and had a hard time, go ahead and try one more time. We have more spaces. And then the weekend after that, we're going to have our drive-through nativity scene. We're pumped for that as well. And then finally, I want to invite you, your friends, your family, everyone to our online Christmas Eve worship service, where we're going to be celebrating Jesus's birth and the light and the hope that he brings. Again, for all of that information, please go to our website. Now, last week, Chris shared with us that Advent really just means coming. And on one hand, we celebrate that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came as a baby and was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And on the other hand, we celebrate, we eagerly wait, we hope, we expect the second coming of Jesus, the second Advent, where Jesus will come again and wipe every tear from our eyes. And now, in this Advent season, and typically in Advent seasons, we light 4 Advent candles that represent different Advent themes: hope, peace, joy, love. And last week, we lit the hope candle, and today, actually right now, I'm going to light the peace candle. Now, I would love for you just to take a moment and to consider this question. In what ways is our world in need of peace today? Well, again, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. In a moment, Chris is going to give our message. But before that, let's take a look at this video.
Hey, Blackhawk. Hey, Matt and I wanted to take a moment before the end of the year to talk with you about something that's really super important, and that is the subject of generosity. Earlier this year, when Matt was voted in as our next senior pastor and we started our whole leadership transition process, I thought, man, if we could only do something this year that was practically really challenging and tackle that together, that would make a great co-pilot year. And then things escalated out of control and quickly we're in a worldwide pandemic. There you go, Matt.
Yeah, you got what you were hoping for, buddy.
It's all about you.
Thanks so much. So seriously, we could never have imagined that for the rest of this year, we would be meeting the way that we are meeting. We never would have imagined, one, that we would be totally reimagining how we do church in a global pandemic, even though we can't meet together in person. And two, we couldn't imagine how completely blown away we would be at the generosity of our church. And the way, in so many different ways this year, whether that was in regular or sacrificial giving, people were willing to step up to the plate. Regardless if that was giving to the church on a regular basis, providing snacks to quarantine students at the University of Wisconsin, or coming alongside families who are facing homelessness in our area. When the world hit pause, the church hit play. And honestly, I know that times have been hard, but it's also kind of felt like a miracle to see what God has done in this season.
We've seen lives forever changed as people place their faith in Jesus Christ. And you guys have played such an important part in our mission to build a loving community that follows Christ in order to reach a community that is lost without Him. So, usually in December, we talk about catching up and ending the year strong, and that's still really important this year. But today, we really want to talk with you about how important it is to start strong and stay strong as we shift from 2020 into 2021. We don't exactly know what is going to happen in 2021, but we know that there will be opportunities to reach our community in brand new ways. We want to be ready to move quickly when those opportunities come about. Our church family and families in our community will continue to need Blackhawk to be there for them like never before. Remember, you're not just giving to Blackhawk, you're giving through Blackhawk.
That's right. So would you take some time today or in the coming weeks to pray about how God might grow your generosity through Blackhawk Church this month and in the year to come? First, for those of you who have had a loss in income, we value your prayers just as much as we do your financial gift.
Absolutely.
We know that times get difficult for people. For others of you, though, you may look at your situation and find that you can actually give in some more extraordinary ways because of the ways that God has blessed you in this season. For many of you, you might just feel like you're weathering the storm right now. You haven't seen a huge impact on your life as far as the pandemic and your financial situation. And if that's you, well, let me just encourage you to think about taking the next step, whether that's setting up your first recurring gift or looking for an opportunity to increase your giving. Look, whatever the next step might be, we hope that it's one that really is actually filled with joy. And if you want to learn more about how generosity connects to joy in following Jesus, we've actually got some great messages on our website about this subject. Just search the word generosity. And finally, we want you to know that we appreciate you, because none of what our church is able to do in this season would be possible without you.
Absolutely. So here you go, Blackhawk. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you. We're praying for you, and we're excited about what God is doing now and in the days ahead. Hey, everybody, take care. Hey, Blackhawk Church, welcome. Thanks for joining us online. And those of you who are part of our Blackhawk Chinese ministry, Dizhong Zimei Ping An. So today's message is the second in the four-part Advent series. And let me remind you about the themes that we're talking about in this series. Last week, I talked about hope. Today, I'm going to talk about peace. Next week, Pastor Charles will talk about joy. And then the week after that, Pastor Matt will talk about love. But for today's talk, my job is to talk about peace. So peace in the Bible is a huge concept. I mean, it's a massive theme in the Bible that starts from the beginning, is in the middle, and is all the way at the end. So in order to help us think a little bit about the biblical and theological concept of peace, I thought we would watch what my friend Tim Mackey from the Bible Project says about peace. Watch this.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting, it also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom, and his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our eirene. He was the whole complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
Okay, that video was a little longer than normally that we show around here, but I wanted to show you that video from the Bible Project for two reasons. First reason is this: if you know anyone named Irene, make sure you go to her and say that her name comes from Irene, and it means, don't do that. That's probably arrogant on your part, and she probably already knows that, actually. Now, the reason I wanted to show that video was this. Tim has the ability to compact a lot of things in a very short amount of space and cover huge topics. And the second reason I wanted to show that is that some of you might be new to Black Hawk Church and you might be new to the whole idea of the Bible Project. So I just want you to Google the Bible Project after this, because the Bible Project is what a gift it is to really the world. Tim was on our staff several years ago. He was on our teaching team for 3 years. Aren't we glad that Tim left Black Hawk Church, you guys? I mean, there's like over 2 million followers of 2 million subscribers on the YouTube channel to Bible Project. If you've never heard of the Bible Project, you can just go to the Bible Project. He covers every single book in the Bible and all kinds of theological concepts too. So I just wanted you to be aware of that tool. So what's my job? My job today is to talk about this big concept of peace. So you got an idea that the theme is it's massive. So I only have 28 minutes and 46 seconds here left in the talk. So I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about just two things. I want to give you the big picture of peace, and then how do we fit in that big picture of peace? All right, here's the big picture. In the beginning, God created everything. And when God created everything, there was perfect peace, love, justice, faithfulness. It was the Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect. There was a perfect relationship between human beings and God. There was a perfect relationship between human beings and the created order. And there was a perfect relationship between the created order and the Creator. Everything was perfect. But then human beings thought they had a better idea on how to run things, and sin came into the world, and then disorder and a lack of peace, lack of justice, all kinds of awful things came into the world because sin entered into the world. But instead of just like wiping the world out, God decided to send someone to rescue the world. And God decided to send that rescuer through one family, and that family was the family of Abraham. And in Abraham's line, that's how God would one day send this Prince of Shalom. And in the Old Testament, we see these prophecies about the coming of this Prince of Shalom. Isaiah 9, Tim referred to it. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of," what's the Hebrew word? Shalom. "Of the greatness of his government and shalom, there will be no end." God wanted to send someone who would rescue the world and bring peace to the world. And in fact, when the baby was born in Bethlehem, that's exactly what the angels were singing about. Remember when the angels got the attention of the shepherds and there was this song in heaven? Remember what that song was from Luke chapter 2? The song goes like this: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So the Prince of Peace came to bring peace. But it reminds me that Christmas song, about the bells, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men." I mean, when we sing these songs and we think about the Prince of Peace and we look around the world today, like, where is the peace? But Advent reminds us that God has promised peace. Peace that would reign on this earth. One day, when the Prince of Peace returns, he will establish a world, and there will be worldwide peace and faithfulness and justice all over this planet. Isaiah also writes about that in chapter 60. I will make peace, shalom, your governor, and well-being, your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 85. I will listen to what God, the Lord, says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Leave that up for just a second, because this tells us what the end is going to be like when the Prince of Peace comes, when he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he reigns supreme. There will be peace everywhere. Love and faithfulness will be together. Where you have perfect love, you have faithfulness. You have perfect faithfulness, you have love. Righteousness or justice and peace. Where you have perfect justice, you've got peace. And when you have perfect peace, there you also have justice. And one day, that will happen on this planet. Advent reminds us of that. But what about until then? You know, in the real world that we live in today, where there is no sustained peace on the earth, what are we supposed to be doing about that? Well, the Prince of Peace said that we, his followers, should actually be peacemakers. You know a verse in the Bible about that? The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this: Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Yeah, I bet that's not a new verse for most of us. I bet most of us probably heard that verse many times. We are supposed to be peacemakers. But there's another verse about peacemakers, which is tucked away in the back of your Bible, and I bet most of you don't know it very much. So I thought maybe let's look at that one today. It's his stepbrother, James wrote it. It's in James chapter 3, verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness or justice. I love that verse. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That's got a lot of religious terms in it, right? Doesn't it? Like, it's like a kind of a Hallmark card you would give to like one of your religious friends, you know? Like, oh, you're such a good person. What's the context of that verse? The context of that verse right there is that James, the Lord's got a, you know, half-brother, is writing to a church where people can't stand each other. There's quarreling and arguments like all over the church. They're like tearing each other up with their words, and they're quarreling like crazy. I mean, it is kind of like, you know anybody that has an extended family that's kind of arguing about politics today? You know anybody that, you know, used to be your friend, but like they voted for the other party? You know anything about like conflict today? You know, like somebody is really in favor of like, you know, Biden and Harris, and somebody else thinks that's crazy. And then somebody else is in favor of Trump and Pence. And you know, you guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, how you doing at the aftermath of the election? A lot of peace in the world, right? Some of you are leaning forward and you're going, is he going to talk about politics today? You know, I mean, like, I thought that was the talk a few weeks ago. No, here you go. Here, don't be scared. I'm going to talk about not the politics of Jesus, but on October the 25th, I talked about the style of Jesus. And the style of Jesus is that he wants us, even though there might be lots of arguments in the world, to be about peace. to be peacemakers. Not to like, you know, ghost our friends or get angry at them, but to like to be peacemakers about what's going on in our world today. We're living, you guys, in a world that is a perfect context for us to actually apply the Bible to like real life. So like, how would we be peacemakers in our world today? Well, take your Bibles, if you have a Bible, and grab it. And let's actually look at that James passage in context. What's James saying in James 3? Grab a Bible. Did you guys grab a Bible? If you don't have one, we'll provide it for you on the screen. Here you go. I got to calm down. Having too much fun. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What's James talking about in this passage? Well, if you notice, he's talking about two different kinds of wisdom. There is like an earthly wisdom, and then there is a heavenly wisdom. And he spends a few sentences contrasting these two different kinds of wisdom. He says the wisdom from earth brings a disorder. Did you see that in verse 16? For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Write it down. Wherever you find disorder, wherever there's disorder, wherever there's a lack of peace, somebody's being selfish. Just write it down. So let's talk about disorder. And all those selfish people out there that are so... No, let's do that. Let's talk about me for a second. Because I know a lot about disorder because I have actually caused a bunch of that in my lifetime. So let me give you an example of disorder in my home from your friendly neighborhood pastor being selfish. And I want you to know that I have my wife's permission to actually share this story. But my wife and I have been married for over 42 years, and I knew this about my wife when we got married. My wife, something is wrong with her internal thermostat. What I mean by that is that my wife likes rooms really warm, really, really warm. And I don't like rooms like that. I mean, if we just let her run the household, it would always be set at like 80 and 90. She likes Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, that kind of stuff. I like Wisconsin and Minnesota and the Quetico. Okay, something's wrong with my wife's thermostat. I know that. So COVID happened. Did you guys know that? So my wife doesn't work in a building anymore. She like works at home. And so she can work in our house all day long. And then all of a sudden, your friendly neighborhood pastor comes home and it's boiling up in my house. And then all of a sudden, I just start to fix that. And I open up windows and let the breeze come in. And it's like, that is not how to be a peacemaker. Because that brings disorder in our house every single time. I don't go to my wife and say, honey, I know you've been here all day, but
I've come home now. Can I get you like 100 blankets to put on while I cool the house down? Now listen, I know you guys don't live in a house of disorder like that. I know everybody's perfect, but like my house now, we're all messed up. So here's the deal. That happens, the disorder, the lack of peace, because of my selfishness. Yeah, I know it's a silly illustration, and it's not about right and wrong. It's about preferences. And I know there are situations that we're all dealing with in our own lives that aren't about preferences, but they're about things of substance, where there's a right and there's a wrong. But write it down. In every situation, where there's disorder, where there's a lack of peace, somebody's being selfish. Whether it's in your home, your neighborhood, your church, your city, or your country. Where there is selfishness, there's a lack of peace. It's not good, James says. In fact, James says that it's like demonic. Do you see that verse? Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual. It's like of the devil. I wish we could have the time to look at all James chapter 3. After the message, scan your eyes up to the first part of James 3 because he's talking about the tongue. He says the tongue is basically like a world of evil all in and of itself. It sets all kinds of fires on flame. He's comparing and contrasting in this chapter the hellish wisdom versus a different kind of wisdom, which is not like the world at all. It's a wisdom from heaven. It's very different. Look at James. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Write it down. Wherever you see peace and wherever peacemaking is happening, there's humility there. There's a submissive attitude that's happening. The people are full of mercy. Wisdom that's from heaven is submissive. Just think about the service that we're in right now. Just think about the moment that Hannah had us look at that passage from Philippians 2. Think about the whole idea of what we celebrate at Christmas. The God of the universe, who's all-powerful, becomes humble, and he humbles himself and becomes an embryo and plants himself in the womb of a teenage Hebrew girl. That's a picture of humility, you guys. And humility brings peace. It brings peace. Where there is humility, peace follows. All right, let's try to get practical here. Let me talk about a couple of tips for us as we seek to be peacemakers in the world today. Here's the first tip. We need help from God. Somebody say amen. Yeah, we need help from God. Did you notice the way James phrases this? Look back at James chapter 3. Wisdom that comes from heaven. Yep, it doesn't come from you. No, it comes from heaven. If we were reading some of the New Testament letters that Paul wrote, he wouldn't talk about wisdom from heaven. He would talk about the Spirit of God from heaven. That's what brings peace. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, fruit of the Spirit. Where does this kind of peace come from? It comes from God. It comes from God. And God wants to work with his people by the power of his Holy Spirit. He wants to give us wisdom. But if you want to bring peace and you want to be a peacemaker, how are you doing with your walk with God? How's that going for you? You need to spend time in God's word. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to walk with God. And that selfish stuff that's going on, like throwing the windows open on somebody who likes the warm temperature, spend time with God in the Bible and you'll be convicted of even something simple like that. If we're going to be peacemakers, we need some help from God. Second tip is this. We're not in control of every situation. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12. He writes, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." If it's possible, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not. Years ago, during this time of year, my wife and I would always make a journey from the southern part of the United States where we were set up. Our first home was in Louisiana, raising our family. We lived in Louisiana for 10 years, and then we would make these kind of migratory trips to the Midwest for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Kids were small. And my wife's father and stepmother were still alive. They have passed away now. There was always tension in the air whenever we went to their home because they were both alcoholics and they drank all the time, especially this time of year. So on one trip, my wife and I decided that we, before they had too many beers in them, we would approach them and talk to them. We were not trying to convince them not to drink their beer. That's fine. And we actually wanted our children to grow up knowing their grandma and grandpa. And even though they did something mom and dad didn't do, we want our kids to actually love grandma and grandpa as they drank their beer. But their beer drinking got out of hand about every time. And so we moved towards justice and righteousness. And very kindly, we said, you know, can we just talk about all the beer that you're drinking? What do you think happened with that conversation? That just blew up. And they were already drunk. And well, we had people praying for us for that conversation and had all kinds of, but it just didn't work out. But we went to sleep that night, and we really slept because we were afraid of the conversation, and we went toward it, and we tried to do it with humility and love, but they were drunk. So why do I share that story? Well, I share it for a couple different reasons. First, we're only in control of what we do and say. We're not in control of what other people do and say. We're only in control of what we do and say. We're not in control of what other people do and say. As much as possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And we were trying to do that, but no, we're not in control of what they're doing in their life. The second reason I share that is because for some of us, when you hear a message on peace, you think that peace means don't rock the boat. And many of us are living in situations where there is abuse that's happening, and it's happening in our world now. And we think the way to be submissive is just to let that abuse continue. So I want to tell you right now, biblically speaking, peace and righteousness go together. You cannot have perfect peace without also having justice and righteousness. So, sometimes moving towards peace means that we actually rock the boat. If you're listening to me right now and you feel like you're not safe in your home, call 911. Or if you don't want to do that, go to our website. And at the top, it talks about ministries, and then click on that. And then the next thing, it says care, and click on that and fill out our care response form. And one of the people in our care ministry would love to have a conversation with you. Because many of us are in situations where we have no power in the home and we feel very vulnerable all the time. Peace doesn't mean not rocking the boat. Sometimes it means we're actually, in a loving way, trying to move towards righteousness. If you're familiar with what we're doing in Advent Conspiracy, you know that we are also partnering with an organization, a wonderful organization in our community called DAISE, Domestic Abuse Intervention Services. And if you go to our AC page, there's a video of DAISE, and you'll learn more and more about abuse in our community. Abuse actually gets worse during COVID because before COVID, the abuser and victim weren't always together, but now the abuser and victim are often together in the same place, and there's no way to get out of the abuse. Part of AC's gift that we're going to collect, some of that money will go towards DAISE. Righteousness and peace, they actually go together. Look at that verse from James again. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness or justice. And remember that verse from Psalm 85. I love that. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Isn't that a beautiful metaphor? Where you have justice, there you have peace. And where you have peace, there you have justice. We, as believers in Christ, have peace with God because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We receive his righteousness not because we've earned it, because of faith in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. When we place our faith in Jesus, we receive his righteousness, and then we have peace with God. And God wants us to use his righteousness and God's peace to be peacemakers in the world today. How you doing with that, Blackhawk? We live in a world today where people are at each other's throat, but God wants us to have the style of Jesus, to be humble, to be loving, and to be people who bring peace. Let's pray. Father, it's so hard. And just as I'm preaching this message, I know there are people that are listening to me right now that are not in safe situations. And I pray, Father, for those women or those men. And I pray, Father, that you would help them by the power of your Spirit, that they would be able to move towards justice and righteousness, that they would know that there are people who support them and want to help them do that. And we, Father, live in a world where people are at each other's throats over politics. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be submissive and to be humble, to listen, to wonder why our friends feel so strongly about perhaps the people that we don't support. Help us, Father, to move towards those conversations with humility and love, and to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. We pray this in Christ's name, really in Christ's name, and for the sake of his reputation. God, help us to be peacemakers in the world today. We pray this in Christ's name. All God's people said, amen.
Peace on earth.
Amen. Well, thanks for worshiping with us today. And man, I love what Chris talked about today. I love the reality that we're invited to be peacemakers. And with that, I want to invite and really actually challenge all of us to be peacemakers. And Chris talked about three different areas. So I want to invite and challenge us to move towards these three areas as we become peacemakers. The first is humility. What are ways in our lives that we can be moving towards humility in our relationships with others, in our relationship with God? And the second area that I want to just encourage us to move towards is righteousness, especially if it's in a safe context like Chris talked about. What are areas that we can be moving towards for righteousness, for justice in our homes, in our relationships, in the world around us? And the third, and this one goes above all of it, to move towards Jesus, because he is the one who gives us peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and peace alone, like Chris said, can only truly be found in him. Now again, we are so excited for Christmas at Black Hawk and our Christmas Eve online worship service. Again, please feel free to go to our website to check it out and learn more information about all of these different services. They're gonna be really great. Please just look at it. And finally, in a moment, we are gonna have a couple questions on the screen. And whether you're alone or you're with other people, we just wanna encourage you to just take some time and think about these questions, or even hit the pause button and talk about these questions in your groups. And after that, have a great day. And we'll see you here next week.